But I have a few questions. Well, one question. I'm going to ask a few of you guys. Don't worry, I measured this. Chrissy helped me this morning. We measured this. This is exactly half. Okay? There is water in here, and it is exactly at the halfway point. Might not look like that, but remember, it's tapered. I don't know if that's the right word. But anyway. All right.
Half full.
Half full. Okay, that's my question. That's my question. Autumn, is this half full or half empty?
Half full.
Half full? Half full? Anyone else? Half full or half empty? Half full. Okay, what's your answer, though? If you had to choose one, what is your answer? But you don't know what I did. You don't know what I did. Did I empty it or did I fill it? What's your answer? So half full? That's your answer? Okay. All right. Over here. Half full or half empty? Half empty. Half empty. Kendrick? Both. Okay. Half full? Okay. All right. Good answering. Half full. We got some good answers. There's no right or wrong answer. Okay? There's no right or wrong answer. My typical thing is it's half empty. But what you say about this glass or this cup might tell me a little bit about yourself. Okay? So how you talk about this cup of water may reflect how you perceive the world, how you see the world. If you see the glass as half empty, like myself, you might have a natural tendency to view the world and situations around you in a negative light. That might be your first natural tendency, okay? While if you see the glass as half full, you might have a natural tendency to view the world in a positive light, okay? How you talk reflects what you believe and how you walk through life.
Amen.
Yes. Jack Schaefer, in his article in Psychology Today, wrote this: words create filters through which people view the world around them. How we talk will tell us how we see the world, how we live, how our actions play into things, okay? What we believe. And we've been walking through our summer series called The Lost Art of Wisdom. And today we're wrapping up this series, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs 18, verse 21, that says this: the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I must confess, when I figured out Pastor was on vacation, I couldn't remember what I was preaching on. So when he got back, I was really excited because I could actually ask him, what am I preaching on Sunday? So he gave me this, and I looked it up, and we're at a staff meeting, and I just started like, this is going to be a good one. I was very excited. Words have power. Words have power. Just kind of let that sink in a little bit. Words have power. The tongue can bring death or life. The tongue is a body part that helps you create sounds and words. As I'm speaking, my tongue is moving so that the words are coming out clearly. Okay? So the tongue here in this verse refers to our speech and how our words have power to bring death or life. Words have power. And this idea is well believed throughout society. It's not something that's disputed, okay? The ideas of positive thinking movements and manifestation pull from the universal truth that words have power. Cognitive behavior therapy, which I have used and experienced in counseling sessions, look at the patterns and how our talking and our thinking, and looking at that and helping change that so that our behavior changes, okay? Words have power. But why? Why do they have power? And this is kind of my personal belief on this. It makes sense to me, okay? I believe it is because our words have power because it is a direct reflection of our Creator. Human beings were made in the image of God. We were created to reflect our character. And God, when you read in the first chapter of the first book in the Bible, which is Genesis, it tells us that God spoke, which then created life. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be stars and moon and the sun." And God said, "Let there be land and oceans and living things to fill the sky, the ground and the water." And it happened. God's words have power. And the ultimate power, I would argue, God's words created things out of nothing. And so that is what I believe is like the ultimate and greatest power you could have. And so this, and another powerful thing is God's word, the Bible. The Bible is God's word to us. And it's through the Holy Spirit that these words come to life and that have the power to convict, to change, to inspire, to teach us. 2 Timothy 3:16 in the NIV says this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." That means they have power. Words have power. And so God's words have power, and we were created in his image. So our words, having power, reflect our Creator. And the first 12 verses of James 3 speaks directly to this truth. And we're going to look at different sections. We're going to kind of jump around in it in this passage this morning. But let's first look at James 3, verses 3 to 6. "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." Think of your tongue right now. Fun fact coming at you. I was very curious about this. I'm like, I gotta throw this in. Okay? On average, okay, the tongue makes up about 0.1% of the body's total weight. Very, very small. Very small. It's quite small compared to the rest of your body. But its size, compared to the power it has in one's life, it's out of proportion. Okay, a bit in a horse's mouth is quite small compared to the animal. If you don't know what a bit is a little piece of metal that gets stuck in the horse's mouth, and the rider can then direct the horse on where to go just by pulling at this bit. It's a little piece of metal. A rudder, compared to a boat again, is quite small, but has the power to direct the whole ship, even when there's really rough seas happening. This little rudder has the power to direct. Something so small as words have great power to influence ourselves and impact those around us. Saying it again, words have power. By the time you leave here today, I want that phrase stuck in your head. When our tongue is not tamed, meaning our words are not kept in check, our words can bring disaster in our lives and to others' lives. Douglas Moo, in his commentary on James, says this: "We know from bitter experience that the childhood taunt, 'Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me,' reverses the truth of the matter," which that phrase, reverses the truth of the matter, just means that the statement's a lie. In our experience, this statement is a lie. He goes on to say, "Far easier to heal are the wounds caused by sticks and stones than the damage caused by words." I'm sure every one of us has been hurt at some point in our lives by something that was said by someone else. But also, I am sure that everyone here has said something that has hurt someone else. An example of words having power is bullying. This is an example of how the tongue has the power to bring death. Okay? Bullying can affect someone's mental health, can entice substance abuse, create low self-esteem. Isolation, physical symptoms like stomach aches and headaches, affect someone's ability to participate in school and entice suicidal tendencies. Bullying is not a joke. Words can hurt. Our words can greatly impact those around us, positively and negatively. And kids, as you go to school, I pray that your words are impacting those around you in a positive way, because your words have power. An example of our words having great power for life is the power of prayer. Prayer is spoken words to God. And it is a gift that God has given us to participate in the work that he is doing and create change in people's lives by just speaking words. Words have power. And so why do you think the devil wants to distract us from prayer? Why does he want to keep us from prayer or discourage us from praying? Because he knows that the power that your words have in the spiritual battle that we're in. The devil doesn't want you praying because words have power. But here's the thing. When something has great power, sorry guys, my P's are very enunciated. When something has great power, it's hard to tame. It's hard to keep under control. Think about animals, okay? It's easier to control and contain a mouse than it is to control and contain a lion. A bigger cage, to control a lion, you need a bigger cage, you might need sedation drugs, bigger precautions, skills, tricks, etc. to control and contain that lion. If I got over my fear, I could contain a mouse. I could do it. But I couldn't contain a lion. By myself, I could not contain that lion. I could do a mouse if I had to. And my husband wasn't around. But I could not contain the lion because of how much power that lion has compared to a mouse. And so because of how much power our words have, it is that much harder to control them. And it says in James 3:2, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Verses 7 and 8 in James 3 also says this, and this is the NIV. "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." If you struggle with your words, you are not alone. You're not alone. And take heart. Scripture tells us it's not easy to tame the tongue. Words have power, and they are hard to control. No human being can tame the tongue. But there is one who can, which we'll come back to. But words have power. Words also reveal. So words have power. Words reveal. Meaning our tongues reveal what's in our hearts. James 3, verses 11 to 12 says this, "Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." And what James writes here directly reflects a teaching of Jesus that can be found in Luke 6, verses 43 to 44. "A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart." Good, good, good. "And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." Evil, evil, evil. "What you say flows from what is in your heart." In Matthew 15, 18 to 20, this is Jesus also speaking. "But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you." And that's in context with the Pharisees being like, "Your disciples aren't washing their hands before they eat. They're defiling themselves." And Jesus is like, your words are what defile you. Not washing your hands doesn't. Spiritually. Our words tell us what's going on inside. They reveal to ourselves and others what is happening in our heart. What comes out of our mouth is a litmus test to where our words come from. If you're bullying others, spreading gossip, making false accusations, saying hurtful things, saying negative things about other people, something's going on in your heart. Because those things don't reflect the heart of God. Going back to the taming of the tongue, it's easy to have the tongue under control when things are going your way. And I'm just going to do a little illustration here, okay? And we'll see how this goes. I need 4 kids who have good aim. You can't pummel me. You can't pummel me. You're throwing a dodgeball at me. You can't pummel me. Okay, Loveland, come on up. Come on up, Enley. I'm scared about that one. As long as you're gentle. River, come on up. Okay, we've got 4. We got 4. Okay, all right. So, I'm going to give you guys each a dodgeball. Come on over. All right, so, what's going to happen is you are going to stand right here in a line. You stand here in a line. Now, I'm not asking you for strength here, okay? I'm asking you for accuracy. Sound good? So don't try and pummel me or like hit the drums or anything like that. We don't want to cause damage, okay? But you will be throwing it at me, okay? One at a time. All right. Make sense? All good? Okay. All right. Oh, no, hold on. I don't want my notes to get wet, or else that's not going to be good. Yeah, I'm going to go at an angle. Right. Oh, thank you. All right. So, this cup is filled to the brim with water. Okay. This cup represents my heart. Okay. It's all good and easy, or it's very easy to tame the tongue when things are going your way. When things are very easy, right? Now, these dodgeballs represent hard things in life. I'll give you some examples. Someone cuts you off when you're driving. Your teenager back-talked to you this morning. Okay? So one at a time. You can come a little bit closer, because again, accuracy here. I fully know that I'm going to get wet. It's okay. Oh, all I'm spilling. I want you to hit this cup. It's okay. It's fine. I fully accept you get wet. Yeah, it's fine. It'll dry. It's water. It'll dry. We're getting new carpet. It's fine. Yeah. Throw it at me. Good. Oh, almost. Try again. It's okay. Just don't give me a black eye. That's all I ask. Well, that was close. That's okay. Come on, you can do better than that. All right. That's okay. I fully expected this. I planned this. Almost. Okay, I need you guys to hit the cup. Hit the cup. Oh, yeah, there you go. Hit the cup again. Caleb, get over here. Okay. Don't give me a black eye, man. Ugh! Didn't hurt. I'm in youth ministry. I can do this. Yo, you didn't hit the cup, guys. Come on. Kendrick, come on up here. Okay. Hit the cup. That was not the cup. Okay, accuracy. Oh, hey. Stop. We're asking for accuracy. Okay, accuracy, not strength. Accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. Almost, almost. All right. There we go. There we go. Okay, one more. One more. There we go. There we go. There we go. All right. Oh, there we go. I got it in the face. We're good. We're good. Thank you, guys. You can put the... Okay. An example. The cup is my heart. It is full. It is full. Oh, I totally... dripping everywhere. It's okay. It is full. The dodgeballs represent the hard things that come our way. Kids, your parents took away your iPad. Or they grounded you. Someone cut you off in traffic. I gotta read what I wrote. Someone cuts you off of driving. You take an awful shot in golf. Someone is bullying your kid. Someone's bullying your kid. Again, your mom or dad have taken away your tablet. You're grounded. You've been fired from your job. The ref makes a bad call. And many other more serious things in life that come your way are those dodgeballs getting thrown at your heart. When the dodgeball hit the cup, things were spilling out. I'm wet. Okay? Words reveal. Words and actions spill out of our hearts. And it's easy to hold that cup and not let things spill over when nothing's coming your way. Right? But as soon as those things come your way, it's much harder. If I tried to do one hand and do the dodgeballs away, it wouldn't have worked. Things would go everywhere. Words and actions spill out of our hearts. Words reveal. Douglas Moo also says in his commentary something along the lines of, speech habits are a key indicator of our godliness or where we are spiritually. If you're a new Christian and before Jesus, you really struggled with how you talked, it would make sense that those habits reveal themselves here and there, or more often than not. But as our faith matures and God continually changes our hearts, our speech should be reflecting that change. If God has changed our hearts, the water that's spilling out of the cup should be reflecting that change. Right? We're reacting to those situations with maybe more patience, more understanding, more kindness. Maybe it says, I believe it's in James, what it talks about is be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. The more we mature in Christ, the more we're listening instead of speaking, the more we're waiting to talk, the more we're responding in kindness, the more we're responding with patience. Douglas Moo also, again, I love Douglas Moo. He had a really good commentary on this, okay? So he says this, we may never reach the point where the tongue is perfectly controlled, but we can surely advance a long way in using our speech to glorify God. There's a great need for our actions, and especially our words as Christians, to reflect the heart of God. D.L. Box says this in his response to Jesus, talking about how good fruit comes from a good tree and how good fruit can't be produced from a bad tree. There is also a great need for fruitfulness today in one's testimony for Christ. All too often, the lost refuse to listen to the claims of Jesus because they know Christians who are hypocrites. When such a charge is raised, there is some value in pointing out that Christians are not perfect, just forgiven sinners. And that's true, but that will only go so far. The church needs people who know God and walk with him in such a way that the roots of their relationship to God shine forth as light. And I'm going to add this, as life. Talking about tongue brings death or life. Fruitfulness makes that clear. Guys, our words have power, and so we need to take our words seriously. James 3, 9 to 10. Sometimes it, which means our tongue, praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This morning, we finished worship a little while ago. We were praising God. But I will be the first one to say, you know, this week, something might slip out of my mouth that's not glorifying to God. Maybe get frustrated about something, right? Surely, this is not right. Our words have power to influence our lives and impact those around us. Our words reveal our hearts. And if we claim to have changed hearts as Christians, but our words do not reflect that, there's a problem. There's a problem. Words have power. Words reveal. But words can also redeem. Words redeem. Redeem means to buy back, rescue, to take back. And Jesus was sent to this earth to redeem humanity, to buy back, to rescue humanity. Jesus is also referred to as the Word in John 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it continues in verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. God's promise to redeem the world happened through Jesus. The Word redeems. How, though, are we redeemed? How are our mouths redeemed? How are we redeemed through Jesus? Romans 10, verses 9 to 10 says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is open declaring, speaking, words, your faith that you are saved. Romans 10, 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is through our words that Christ can redeem us because of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We can come to Jesus and confess our sins, which again uses our words, and 1 John 1:19 promises us this. But if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. With our words, we sin. And with our words, we can be redeemed through Jesus, who is the Word. We can't redeem our tongues ourselves. We're coming back to this point that we talked about a little while ago. No human being can tame the tongue. The tongue has great power. It is hard to control. It is hard to tame. We need divine intervention to change our words because it comes from our heart. Jesus changes our hearts. Our words can bring life or death to others, and when they bring death, we hurt others with our words. It is sin. But we can be forgiven of that sin by going to Jesus. But we are also called to confess our sins to one another. And pray for each other so that we can be healed. And that comes from James 5, 16. If we have hurt someone with our words, we need to humble ourselves and go to that person and confess that we have done something wrong. Or if someone comes to you and says, you know, what you said really hurt. And one, that's really hard to do. It's hard both ways. It's hard to humble yourself, and it's hard to go to someone who's hurt you and said, that really hurt. And so when someone comes to you and says that, there's an act of humbling that can be done. You have a choice to make. You can humble yourself and say, yeah, I'm sorry. You may have not meant it. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. That doesn't matter, because they still hurt. So just humbling yourself before them and asking for forgiveness. Humbling ourselves is hard, but every Christian has been called to the work of reconciliation, which means the restoration of relationships. Because we have been restored to God, we need to be active in restoring our relationships. Now, that doesn't mean that you're buddy-buddies with someone after, especially in like cases of abuse and such like that. But reconciliation means that what happened is done. You can still have boundaries with that person. That is perfectly okay. We don't need to be buddies-buddies with people, okay? But we're also not speaking ill of that person, right? Okay. Because we've been restored or reconciled to God, we have been called to live that out and reconcile with others. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So I'm going to pause here for a moment because I didn't really talk about this earlier, but the consequences section. Consequences can be positive and negative. Usually we correlate consequences with negative, right? I mean, in disciplining kids at home, we say, okay, this is what you've done, now this is the consequence. But consequence, the definition of consequence is just what happens because of an action. So if you do something good, a good consequence happens. You do your chores without being asked. Good consequences, you get your allowance. Maybe, I don't know how that works at home for you. But that's that idea, is consequences can be positive or negative. So how we talk, life or death, that is what we're reaping, life or death. Our words have power to influence our own lives and the direction we go. Our words impact others around us. As representatives of Christ, we need to take our words seriously. We need to have our words reflect the work that God has done and is doing on our hearts, because our words reflect what's going on in our hearts. Words have power, words reveal, but our words can be redeemed by the word, Jesus Christ. And so, this is what I'm challenging to you. I'm leaving you with a challenge, okay? Band, you can come on back up. This is what I'm going to challenge you with. Right now, it might be really easy to be like, you know, you might be saying, my words are actually pretty good, you know? Like, I don't really swear, I don't really, like, curse anyone out, I'm a pretty patient person, I think it's pretty good right now. That's why I'm not challenging you right now, I'm challenging you this week, okay? This week, take inventory of your words. Take inventory of your words. Notice the language you use. Are the words you are speaking honoring God and honoring God's creation, aka other human beings? Are the words that you are speaking bringing life or death around you? Take inventory, especially when those dodgeballs are getting thrown at you. When your kids are irritating you, when your parents are irritating you, when someone cuts you off while driving, if someone accuses you of something, take inventory of what you are saying. Even the tone may not just be the words, but also the tone of how you are speaking them. After taking inventory, you will begin to see patterns. And those patterns will show you your heart. Are you struggling with patience, jealousy, pride? If you're unsure, and even if you are sure, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what your words say about your heart. He knows you better than we do. He knows you. The Holy Spirit knows me better than I do. When we sin with our words, we have a choice. We can take hold of those words and submit them to Jesus or run with them. We can go with them. It's okay, we don't need to humble ourselves. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to keep walking this way. I advise you to take them to Jesus because he is the only one who can change your tongue by changing your heart. So words have power. Words reveal. And words redeem. Take inventory of your words this week. Take hold of your words and take your words to Jesus. And that is what I'm challenging you with and leaving with you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And we even ask right now, God, if there's, Holy Spirit, if you're convicting us of something, may we act upon that. May we humble ourselves to you and to others if we need to. God, may we ask for forgiveness. And God, this week, Holy Spirit, we give you full permission to show us our words and what that means with our hearts. Show us our hearts, Holy Spirit, so that we can go to you, Jesus, and be changed. God, help us to accurately represent you, Jesus, even in the hard moments, in those frustrating moments. God, you know how hard it is to tame the tongue, and we need you to do it. And so, God, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.